All right, let's see if I can get my screen. Gallery view, how do we do this? Oh, who have I got joining me live here? Come on, you can turn on, if you're okay for me to turn on your video and audio. If you don't want me to, let me know in the comments.
Hey, Connie, it's Stephania.
Hello, how are you?
Good, I'm a little sick this weekend, but just having a cozy weekend in.
Nice to see you.
Hello.
What time is it over there for you?
It's 6 p.m. here, day before. It's still Sunday here. Yeah.
Kathy, I can see you're here as well. Do you want to say hi to me? I understand maybe people are like, just want to, you know, be nice and quiet behind the scenes and not be on video today. But what I wanted to do with these classes is, yeah, keep them, have them interactive where possible. I'll be teaching for a lot of it, but also have the ability for you all to connect outside of our Facebook group too. I'm not sure how many people are going to be joining us. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Connie. How are you? I'm pretty good, thanks. I just got up from my bed.
It's not. We've got everyone in our nice, sleepy, cozy vibes today.
Yeah.
Is it? Are you at work today, or is it a? Was it a public holiday?
So today is public holiday, so I don't have any work today.
That's perfect. Perfect. Brigida, I can see you joining us. Do you want to come on video and say hi before we get started? It's just nice for us all to see each other. Can't hear you.
Oh, there we are.
Hey, hello.
How are you? My hair is a mess, sorry.
Everyone's just like, wasn't prepared to be on video. That's okay. It's just to say hi and just to like let us all feel each other. Time is it for you at the moment?
It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we had just had daylight savings, which always kills me because we lost an hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it in New York too, right? Yeah, so.
Okay.
So it would normally be 4 o'clock, right? Am I right? Yeah,
It's because it's spring forward, right? So it's an hour ahead. So normally it'd be,
This morning was like, ugh, extra
Yes.
I've got to make sure I factor that in because I know we're coming into the time where everyone starts to shift time zone, so I've got to make sure I'm aware of that as I'm scheduling class.
It's good to see you guys.
Yay.
So obviously I've got a lot to cover in the class today, and so as I'm diving into all of that, I'll just bring my screen up and we'll pop you guys into the background, and then I'll open at different points through the class if any of you want to share anything or ask questions. Through the whole session, you can chat with me in the chat box. So at any point you want to say anything, ask a question, type into the chat box, and then at a couple of different points through the class, I'll open up and see if anyone wants to share anything or has a question, and we can even just even workshop something on the call in addition to all the content too if you want. Or otherwise, you can all just sit back and enjoy everything that I'm going to share with you. So yeah, have a notepad and pen if you don't already, a notebook or something. If you don't have a copy, if you don't have the workbook with you at the moment, it's no big deal, but the workbooks will be made available a couple of days before the class runs. So usually on the Friday, here I'm running the class on the Monday, and that's on the live classes page underneath. There'll be a button where you can download the workbook, but I'll be drawing on my notes in the workbook today. I can see Charlotte is joining us. Hello, love. How are you?
Thank you.
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm currently sat in the rain in the coffee shop outside work, so I'm really good. Really, really, really good. Feel like I've been running around like a bit of a headless chicken, which is what I want to reverse during this program, so I can't wait to get started and to meet everyone.
Yeah, perfect. Have you got a bit of time before you have to duck off to work? Can you only join us?
Yeah. I know, no, I've carved out an hour. I work till 10, so.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm trying to prioritize me and put it in my calendar.
Awesome. I was just saying to the ladies, I'll open up at different points for us all to kind of chat and interact. I'll teach a lot of the content and pause at different points if anyone wants to share anything and workshop anything. Chat in the comments through the whole.
Awesome.
To share anything. All right. Well, I might dive on in. I just wanted to say hi to everyone and know who is here with me. So we'll get started and then I'll chat to you through the call. So I'm going to. You can totally, it's up to you if you want to leave your video on or if you want to turn it off, totally up to you. But I am going to mute everyone now so we don't get background interference. And I'm going to spotlight my, no, not you, I'm going to spotlight my video. There we go, that's me. So you can still see each other at the top if you want. And like I said, chat with me in the comments if at any point you would like to. Okay. I'm so excited to start our journey together and to dive into this first class. So you would have seen if you either have a copy of the workbook, I've got that up on my screen with me now, or if you had a look over the live classes page, that where we're starting with today is taking a deeper look at these inner feminine masculine energies that we all have within us, looking at our relationship to them, how we feel about them, the aspects of them that we are embodying, the aspects of them we want to work on embodying more of, and then bringing things back into balance. So this is a really beautiful starting point for our journey together. And what I'm going to do just to begin, and I know Charlotte, you're in a cafe, so it might not work, but I'm just going to guide us through a little short meditation just to bring us all into our bodies in the moment, because I think I'd said to some of you on the discovery call, my intention is for this not just to be about information, but to be about us really feeling and experiencing and integrating, you know, what we're going to be talking about. So I just want to bring us a little into our bodies as a starting point. So if you can close down your eyes, you can leave your eyes open if you want to, but if you can close down your eyes, just do that for a moment. And I want you just to start to deepen your breath. And also just slow it down a little bit. If you want to just like do an open mouth exhale, just like a let go as you're breathing out. And just really beginning to deepen your breath right down into your belly. So often we're breathing up here. You want to imagine bringing that breath right down, like even into your womb space and your hips. And what I personally like to do is like, I wiggle my body a little as I'm doing this. So I'm actually really feeling my hips as I'm breathing. I'm feeling my belly. You can even put your hands on these parts of your body as you're connecting with them. And just use your breath to help you connect with your body. So you're feeling your body, dropping the awareness down into the body. Maybe even just swaying your shoulders a little, or just letting your head soften as well, your head and your neck. For me, when I work with kind of more feminine meditation, it's less like let's sit and be rigid and serious and breathe. And it's more like I like to bring a little bit of soft movement, a bit of a sensual feeling, and using my hands to touch my body in different, like on my belly or my chest. So I'm really anchoring in as I'm breathing. And if you can feel any tension, often it's in the jaw. If it's in the jaw, just let that jaw just drop and soften. Just let the shoulders drop and soften. Just feel yourself like sink more into your hips and feel your hips holding you. I feel your heart open. And any tension around that heart space or chest, just like let that drop away too, and just let your heart open and soften. All right. Beautiful. That is a beautiful starting point. I already feel a lot better after doing that. Okay, so where I'm going to open up, let me see where I open up in the workbook. Yeah, this is where I begin in the workbook. But where I'm going to open up, so I'll just share the components of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with talking about the masculine and feminine energies, particularly from the perspective of what we learned growing up, what was modeled to us, what was praised in these aspects of us, and how this has shaped us through our life. We'll be looking a little bit at the inner child, because this is an element of this where we need to perhaps at times reparent that part of ourselves that was parented in a certain way, which has shaped us to become who we are now. But maybe there were things that we didn't receive, aspects of ourselves that weren't loved and praised in the way that we really needed. So we can look at some practices around reparenting, which help us nurture the inner child within us. We'll look at feminine energy, and we're going to do a big deep dive into understanding and exploring feminine energy and some practices and some ways to embody and connect with and feel more of this energy and these qualities. And then we'll look at the masculine, because again, we all have these energies within us. And we'll look at the ways either that the masculine, you know, has really supported us through our lives, because it definitely has for all of us women. Our masculine is a part of us that has really helped us progress and achieve a lot of things. And then we'll look at sort of bringing these energies more into balance. And I'll wrap up talking about trust when it comes to the feminine. So this is going to be the key component that we'll wrap up the class with, and is a really important part of this, is beginning to trust in our feminine energy and actually allow her to lead us rather than sort of having the masculine lead us and dominate and suppress her. We're going to be, you know, re-inviting the feminine in to be the lead of our lives. Okay. Beautiful. Let me just also bring up where's my chat box? Yep. So if at any point we have any issues with my audio, video, connection, or questions, you can type into the chat box at any point with me, and I'll keep an eye on that. Okay. So let's get started. Where are my notes? All right. So we all would have grown up, well, most of us would have grown up with feminine role models and masculine role models, which typically begins as mum and dad, but might have been different for each of us. We all grow up in different family environments, but we all would have had some type of role model around the masculine and some type of role model around the feminine. And as we were growing up, whatever we observed and witnessed in those key role models in our life has absolutely shaped us. Without us even knowing, this is very much what happens as we're growing up. And what we witnessed in the masculine, whether it was our father or another key masculine person in our life, and what we witnessed in the feminine has shaped how we feel about our own masculine and feminine energies, and how we will feel about embodying certain aspects of these energies, certain qualities, and whether we've rejected and pushed away and judged some parts of ourselves, and then whether we've over-relied on certain aspects because it was something that was very celebrated or praised in our household or in our family environment. So we have, you know, the relationship we have to those external masculine and feminine, which has shaped how we feel about our own. But then we also have how the masculine and feminine, you know, our mum and dad, our parents or family members, how they responded to our inner masculine and feminine energies and what was praised and celebrated and rewarded when we were young. So all of this shapes us. And you know, most of us know this, but we just want to kind of remind ourselves of this, because there's some really important and powerful self-reflection that's going to happen at the beginning of this journey now. And so I want you to begin to think, and I do take you through this in the workbook, but you might want to just to start to think about it now. What did you witness and observe about the key masculine, and what did you witness and observe about the key feminine? What were their roles? Who had the power or perceived power? Were there standard gender roles in those dynamics? What was modeled around things like emotions and how we process and how emotional we are? What was modeled around success and making money? What was modeled around freedom? Who had the most freedom out of those two energies? What was the dynamic between the two of them? And just to give a like really little brief snapshot of mine, so my father very much held the power in our family. He was the breadwinner, he was the business owner, he took care of my mom and me and my siblings, and my mom was pretty much a stay-at-home mom. I had a sister that was sick, so she was with us all, and she didn't have any of her own financial freedom. She didn't really get to make any of her own choices. It was I grew up feeling like the man held all the power. He had the better role. He had the freedom. He could do whatever he wanted. My dad went on business trips and he had numerous women, and you know, he had all the freedom and the money. And I perceived my mom, to be honest, as being in more of the weak role in our family. I saw her as being very easily dominated and controlled and manipulated by him. She often wanted to leave him and didn't have the financial resources or the ability. So I very much grew up feeling like it was better to be a man, to be honest. And also grew up feeling, I grew up with a very strong belief system of like, I'm never going to need to be dependent on a man. I'm going to make sure that I always have my own money, that I always have my own home, that I always am providing for myself, because I don't ever want to be in that position my mum was in of being dependent on a man and not having any power. So whatever, you know, you might need to take some time to kind of reflect on this, but I want you to sort of start to notice really what the key belief systems or perceptions were that you developed through what you witnessed unfold in the masculine and feminine in your life and what was modeled. So just have a little think into that as I'm sort of talking through it. And it's interesting because when we're growing up, without realizing, we make key inner decisions in ourselves. And this is something that really shapes our lives, is we decide, like I said, I decided then, I'm never going to be like my mom. I'm never going to be a woman that doesn't have money and doesn't have freedom. And, you know, that has led me to a place of, for a long time, never letting men in. And the minute that I felt like a man had too much power in our relationship, I would close off and push him away. And I struggled with surrendering. I struggled with trusting because I just presumed men just wanted to dominate and control you, because that was what I witnessed. The other thing we need to look at here is how did both of those energies treat and respond to us as a child? So how were we kind of shaped? And we're always shaped, you know, our parents don't mean to. Our parents always just doing the very best that they can, and they're parenting us through their own models of the world, you know, without realizing sometimes they are projecting onto us, and different aspects of us are being praised, and other aspects we're sort of receiving the message that isn't as loved or accepted in this family. So for me, because I idolized my father, because I saw him being the one with the power and the success and the freedom, and he looked like he had a great life, I just wanted to be like him. And I wanted to do anything and everything that would make my dad proud. So pretty much my whole model of like up until I was about 27 was making daddy proud, doing whatever daddy wanted me to do. So I excelled at sports. I excelled at academics. I focused on all of that stuff, and he gave me a lot of praise for what I did and what I achieved. And so that sets up this model of what gets me love and what makes me worthy and what makes me good is how much I can achieve and do. And so that tends to then push us into, if we've grown up with that type of praise, pushes us to rely more on our masculine and see our masculine as a better energy to embody, right? And then we, you know, but most of us, most of the women who get drawn into my work are inherently, you know, before all that programming started, quite sensitive, quite intuitive, quite emotional and creative women. It's very much your essence. I know through all the women I've worked with, that's the type of women that tend to come into my work. But I wonder, how were those aspects of you received by either your mum or your dad? Were they praised? Were they celebrated? For example, it was modeled to me, like when my mum became emotional, my dad would say, "You're crazy. You're acting crazy. You're irrational. You're off the planet." He would say stuff like that. So it was modeled to me that when a woman gets too emotional, she's crazy. So my very tender emotional side wasn't really nurtured. If I was upset when I was a kid, I'd lock myself in a room by myself and process it alone because I didn't feel like anyone would ever understand, or that, you know, I didn't want to be told that I was overreacting. So was your creativity celebrated? Was your imagination celebrated? Was it okay to be sensitive? Were you a playful kid, and was play celebrated? Another example for me is that I was very, I knew what I loved when I was a kid. I loved to create, I loved to play, I loved to make things. And my younger sister was sick. She was having ongoing epileptic seizures. And my dad very much programmed into me that it was my job to take care of her. So I would often start, you know, it was the weekend and I'd go play and want to be creative. And then I'd hear my dad yell, "Connie, where's Laura? Where's your sister? Go and take care of her. Include her in your games. Make sure she's coming and playing with you." And so my little like feminine was like, I just want to follow my joy and play and have fun and create. But it was programmed into me, no, you need to be responsible. You need to think about other people. You need to help other people. And that shaped my career up until I was 27. And so I've often felt like, oh, well, just doing what makes me happy, that's selfish. You should always be thinking about giving to other people. Okay. So I'm just giving all these examples just to help you begin to find your own kind of reference points around how this has shaped you. So I grew up, yeah, academics, outcomes, results, and being of service to others is very much what was programmed in. Okay. So that's going to be the first little area for you to explore more into. There's some great questions in the workbook that will help you explore that more. Let me just check. Make sure nothing, no comments are coming through. And so what we want to do when we realize, okay, maybe there's some healing work I need to do here, because I can see how, based on what I learned, I'm going to push away and reject aspects of who I really am and aspects of my beautiful feminine self, because I might now have judged those parts of me as being, yeah, weak, powerless, overreactive, unproductive, selfish, whatever it is. And so one of the things I ask you in the workbook, and something I really want you to reflect on as well, is what aspects of you, when you were growing up, if you were to look back, that you feel are really like the true essence of who you are, which of those parts of you were not really praised or did not really get you your parents' love or were not really supported or celebrated or were told that they were okay? And this can develop kind of an inner child wounding that we end up carrying within us through our whole life, actually feeling, and I see this happen for so many women, that who I really am authentically isn't lovable. The only way for me to be lovable and good enough and worthy is to be a different version of myself. Primarily a person we've learned to be, an identity, these roles that we play. But like who I am deep at my core isn't enough, isn't good enough, isn't right, isn't lovable, isn't worthy. And that can live within us as a wound through our entire life and can absolutely shape everything, particularly when we come into relationship. If you want to come into an intimate relationship, it's only a matter of time before that wound gets activated. And if your partner is going to want to be, you know, getting really close to you and getting to know you, but they can only get to know this kind of identity that you've built versus who you really are, because you're hiding away who you really are, that's going to impact your relationship. So I also want you to reflect on, Maybe even see, maybe you want to, if you've done any work with me before, you know I tend to do quite a bit of inner child work, but maybe you can even bring to mind an image of yourself, usually around age 4 or 5 is where this starts to come up. And it might even be a fun exercise after this to get a photo of yourself from that age that you can use to help you reconnect with this inner child. And I want you to imagine that little child and just begin to become aware of any parts that that little child feels within them where they didn't get the love, the support, the encouragement that they were really deeply craving and wanting. I know for me, from my mom, I always wanted her softness and I felt like she was so harsh with me. I wanted cuddles, I wanted affection, I wanted to be nurtured, I wanted to be told I was beautiful, and she was just very harsh and kind of cold with me. And that was a wound that I carried for a long time. But I also, part of this as well is then, and it might take a little bit of work to kind of feel into this and find it, but what does that child within you most need to know, most need to hear? What is she most craving to receive? If she could rewrite, you know, her childhood so that it unfolded exactly how she needed it and her parents played the exact role she wanted them to play, what would she love to see unfold here? What would she have loved to have received and be told and be given? And when you can uncover that, you can then do, this is an exercise I often guide my clients through, is going into a little visualization exercise with her. And, you know, if you haven't spent much time connecting with your inner child, this might actually take a little while even to kind of be able to connect with her. When I first started connecting with my inner child, she didn't really want to talk to me. I would sort of try to imagine her like sitting on my lap and, or I'd give her a hug and I didn't really get anything from her. But the more that you work with this as a visualization, so this little girl maybe sitting on your lap or you're sitting next to her or you're sort of looking at her face, you can actually begin to get information from like, what emotions can you see going on for her? Where can you see she's sad or in pain or not feeling loved or feeling rejected or abandoned? You can actually start to get that information from her. And then you can begin, as the grown-up that you are now, to almost reparent and almost mother her and really feel into, what does she most need to hear? What does she most need to know? And you can do little exercises like saying this to her, having little conversations with her and reassuring her by giving her the words she needed to hear, giving her a hug, playing with her. With my inner child, she always loved to perform, but I never felt my mom really like ever celebrated me. And so as a kid, all I wanted was like to perform and have my mom clap and tell me I was amazing. So I do that for my inner child now. I imagine her doing a little performance and I cuddle her and kiss her and I tell her she's beautiful and she's talented and she's incredible. So this might sound a little bit kind of woo-woo as a bit of an exercise, but this stuff really works as very beautiful healing visualizations we can do with our precious inner child. And particularly when you're working with the feminine, I think that's what I would like you to look at the most. What aspects of your feminine feel like she has either shut away or pushed away or disconnected from because they didn't feel like they were really celebrated and nurtured? And then, I think actually starting with bringing a very mothering energy is nice because we bring the feminine to her, and that can be very healing for her as a little girl. So I'm just going to check and totally fine if you're all just like happy absorbing. Oh, I can see Sarah's joined us. Does anyone feel like there's anything they want to share from that? Any reflections, insights, thoughts, anything you want to ask? More than happy to dive
in. Can I just share something?
Yeah, of course.
I just had a big kind of aha moment. Is I've always like having kids is something I would love to have, but I've always struggled visualizing it. And I think I've struggled with my capability as a mum. And I've just thought when you just said about bringing her mothering energy to my inner child, I have done inner child work, but I've never really done it from a mothering point of view. And I think that's going to be really powerful for healing probably that wound with myself, because probably from the trauma, like in inverted commas, I got from my mum, that's probably blocking my ability to visualize myself having children. And so I'm really going to go and do some work in mothering my inner child.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And because that will actually activate that mother energy within you and help you feel more safe being in that role too.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a big aha moment that just happened. So thank you.
Love aha moments. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Does anyone else feel to share anything? Any thoughts, reflections, ahas, insights?
I might hop in for a second. So I don't have these dorky earphones on. But I found that we've worked together a bit. And so I did the inner child work, which I love. But I did find that, I can't remember if I talked to you about this or not, but like I have inner woman work.
Ooh.
To do too. Like when my dad died, I think it was about 8 years ago. And it was like, yeah, she was, my feminine was not allowed at all. And so I had to go back, and I'm still going back to that specific, like in the hotel room, like really specific times where it's like, okay, you were not allowed to come out at all. So like, let's talk about what was going on. And it's so funny because it's like the inner child, I get it, but it's like, for me, it's like inner adult.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And thank you for bringing it up, because it actually is a really good point, particularly either if you've already done quite a bit of inner child work, or if you don't actually feel like it is related to the inner child, it can absolutely be related to different ages and different parts of ourselves. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I felt. It's like the inner child work was amazing, and I needed to do that too, but boy, that was a huge turning point. That, and it's just usually we just hear child, and I was like, yeah, but I think it's inner woman, like adult.
You're 100% right. I've got a teenage version of me that I work with about.
Right.
I've got, you know, 30-year-old me that I work with, absolutely. And it's a bit like trusting which can you feel as a part of you calling at you, and you honor that regardless of what age.
Yeah.
And you can still bring the mothering energy, even if it was someone from a year ago.
Right. Okay, good. Cool. Because I have found that has been so, like, eye-opening. That's where I, like I said in the share, it's like, whew, wow, I can, yeah. So thank you. It's been really helpful.
Thank you.
It's been amazing. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's a really great point. Yeah.
Thank you. Cool.
Anybody else?
I also want to share. So
beautiful.
I really resonate to part of your story you just mentioned, because I also live at a family where my mother take care of both me and my sister. So I always have a strong feeling that I want to be independent, especially in finance. Mm-hmm. So I always not easily trust, especially the male who come to my life. And I feel really scary when they want to get closer to me and when they want to have that power over me. Yeah. I think that's kind of influenced me to be too independent and to just want to be on my own.
Thanks for sharing that. And you know, part of what the work is, and we'll talk about this a lot as we move forward, because it even came up in your language, they're going to have power over me. That's what it feels like, right? Because that's what it felt like to me, that if I let a man in too close, he's going to have power over me. But that's not actually the truth. And that's something we need to break down, is that it is possible for a man to be very close, but for you to still be 100% in your power.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be part of the work, is how to actually stay in your power as a woman while also allowing yourself to be vulnerable and surrender and let someone get close to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Also, another story is that I feel like my family energy is not celebrated at my childhood. I'm still not quite sure about the reason, but I think when I grew up, I always get easily emotional in the group environment. Sometimes I'm just easily to be scared, and I always just sometimes I just cry in front of people. And then my parents always feel like, oh, this is not something that I should do. So I gradually just close off my emotion and think that letting others know how I feel is not a good thing.
Beautiful. So as we move through as well, we're going to be doing quite a bit of work on how do we relate to our own emotions, and that's going to be your starting point. So if you noticed that's how others responded to your emotions, you're probably like that with yourself now. You probably say to yourself, oh, don't get emotional and don't show that emotion. You would be speaking to yourself the same way like your parents did. So the beginning point for that is to start to really let yourself feel. And it doesn't always have to be with other people. It can be just with yourself. I think that would be the beginning point, as emotions come up when you're by yourself, letting yourself fully feel them.
Thank you.
Thank you for your shares. All right. I'm going to move on to talking about feminine stuff, unless anyone else has any other shares. We good? Beautiful. Thank you. Oh, I love this format where we can just like come in and chit chat and then continue. Beautiful. And Brigitte is saying she totally relates, Kathy, to what you're sharing about the feelings and emotions too. So that in the comments. Okay. All right. Thank you, beautiful women. Okay. So let's start talking about feminine energy. And what I love when we come to talk about feminine is this is such like a varied energy to work with as women. And we are actually like, when you really come to embrace feminine energy, we are actually like so awesome. It's so awesome to be a woman. And I know not many of us grew up believing that. I definitely didn't. But when you really come to understand how magic we are, like we are very, it's just so delicious to be a woman when we fully embrace all the flavors and aspects of us. rather than, you know, I used to always just think it's good to be a man because you're just one thing and you never really feel much else and it's just nice and easy. But being a woman's way better. So feminine energy has a whole wide range of ways it can be expressed, and there is not one way to express feminine energy or your femininity. And it's so important that we never compare ourselves to other women or how other women express their femininity, because you'll find some women are very expressed in their feminine energy through sort of their beauty and how they, you know, being very glamorous or pretty or, you know, thinking sort of like hair beautifully done and red lipstick and very just attractive, you know, this kind of image we often see in the media. That's one aspect of being feminine, and that's not what being feminine means. And it's not even about anything really external in terms of appearances. It's all about energies and qualities we embody. Because a woman can appear very feminine on the outside, but may not actually be connected to that energy on the inside. So we've just got to maybe break down any ideas we kind of already hold around what it means to be feminine in a woman and allow ourselves to be curious and open to exploring what that looks like and feels like to us. I've so often talked to women about this where they sort of think that, okay, to be feminine means to be sweet and pretty and cute. And they're like, I don't want to be that. And I'm like, you don't have to be in order to be feminine at all. So this is really about exploring what it means to you and also understanding that when you fully really come into your feminine energy, you are going to naturally move through the full spectrum of feminine energies. Everything from soft and sweet and playful and cute to like fierce and savage and wild and passionate and sexual. And like, there's these full extremes of feminine energy and what we can tap into. It's like these flavors, like think of like a ice cream shop and there's just like all these different flavors, you know, so many variations. And also feminine energy, when we really let it flow, is very interchangeable in that, you know, I can tap into a lot of different flavors of the feminine just in 1 hour or one day. And when we give ourselves permission to experience the fullness of the feminine, we allow ourselves to move through all those different flavors, and we never put ourselves in a box and say, you have to be one thing. We give ourselves permission to be them all. So I often describe and think about feminine energy being like the weather, you know, and we have the weather. I mean, Mother Nature is a feminine force. And we can have everything from bushfires that are destructive to floods that are abundantly just flowing water everywhere, to droughts, to tsunamis, to tornadoes, to earthquakes. Like, she is a very powerful, strong, varied energy. And so what if you do have the workbook with you, and I know a couple of women who have been in other feminine programs with me might have done this exercise before, but it's still valuable to do because you might find you get different things out of it each time. If you do have the workbook in front of you, it's I have a page of words that can describe feminine energy or which are qualities of the feminine. And I'll just read them out. And what I encourage you to do in this worksheet is to look both at which words kind of resonate with you, which ones do you feel like, yeah, that really describes for me what it feels like to be in my feminine. And then I also take you through looking at which ones do you go, oh no, like that's not me, like I couldn't be that, or I'm rejecting that one and I have a judgment on it. I don't like that quality and I would never want to be thought of as being like that. So I'm just going to read through them because some of you may not have the workbook in front of you. I've got here compassionate, soft, emotional, flowing, nurturing, playful, mysterious, wise, surrendered, powerful, warm, sweet, heart-driven, wild, kind, goddess, intuitive, connected, sensual, lush, mystical, pleasure, open, expressive, imaginative, trusting, passionate, messy, spiritual, creative, fierce, vulnerable, untamed, healer, sexual, gentle, passive, queen, abundant, graceful, divine, motherly, strong, receptive, caring, serene, fertile, empowered, generous, empathic, worthy, free-spirited, confident, imperfect, spontaneous, and beautiful. And there's a full like range there. And if you have the workbook in front of you, just look over it and maybe you'll like circle or put a mark next to the ones where you go, yeah, that feels like it, the description of my feminine. And me a few years ago, I probably would have gone with words like sweet and I don't know if I would have done soft. I would have done creative, gentle, caring, free-spirited, compassionate, nurturing. I probably would have gone for those because, to be honest, that in my mind is a feminine that people like. I'm like, yeah, that's a feminine that people like. She's really nice to be around and, you know, she's generous and caring and kind and beautiful. That's great. And you might find, okay, they're the ones I feel really comfortable being in. And you might only be able to pick one or two depending on where you're at around it. I'm just looking at my notes. Where am I going? But then I ask you in the following page, which qualities trigger you? And trigger you in that you kind of see them and you're like, ooh, I wouldn't really like to be that type of feminine. Or that's definitely not me. I could never be that. And some of the qualities here that I am now working a lot more with that I previously would never have been able to fully step into is fierce. Fierce is a big one I've been working with. Queen is another one. I remember when I ran this program last time, I had a lot of women get really triggered by the word goddess and be like, oh gosh, what's that? I would say sexual is an energy I'm stepping more into, just much more ownership of that aspect of myself. Like I think I probably couldn't have even said that a year ago, come on here and be like, oh yeah, my sexual energy. I would have been like, ooh, but I have no issue around it now. And was there one more I was thinking about? And surrendered. I've actually come so much deeper into surrender. I had a lot of resistance around surrender for a very, very long time. So that could be just a really interesting exercise for you to explore. And I do ask you in the workbook that if there's a couple of, if you pick, I say pick 1 to 3 qualities from the list that you'd like to be able to embody and express more of. But these kind of feel like your stretches. Oh, I'd like to work on opening, or I'd like to work on receiving, or I'd like to work on softening, or I'd like to work on my mothering energy, or I'd like to work on being more playful. Write them out and then just explore a little bit around what does that quality mean to you, because we've all got our own definitions of what that means to us, and what would it look like to you to explore it, to express it, to be able to express more of that quality. How would you uniquely like to be able to express more of that quality? So, you know, the beautiful thing about working with feminine energy is that while some of this might feel foreign, you will find the more that you embrace this, you will start to feel so much more at home in yourself. So even though as a woman, being in our masculine might feel safer, we might feel more in control and more powerful, we might feel like we can achieve more, we might feel, it might feel more familiar. Ultimately, you will, if you are a feminine being, once you come into your feminine energy, you will find a whole new level of like homeness, like feeling at home and whole. It's like home base for a woman, to come back to this. So even if it's uncomfortable a little bit as you navigate the journey, actually dropping into this energy will feel most right to you. And a woman can't really feel fully like herself until she's sinking deeper into embracing her feminine. I'm just reading a comment here. Brigitte, when I did the pre-workbook and asked my heart what I needed to know, she said, this is your home. Yeah, beautiful. I'll open up for comments in a second. Yeah, home, exactly, 100%. So as you're doing this exercise, you'll sort of start to as well become more aware of how do you sort of feel about your feminine at the moment. And as we've said, this is the judgments or pushing away or rejection or lack of embracing and acceptance that we feel towards our feminine is very much based on our experiences growing up. But I want you to look at, do you hold judgments on her? Do you hold stories about her? Are there things that you're telling yourself that are preventing you being able to embrace more of this energy? You know, things like she's too much. It's not good to be emotional. She's weak. She's oversensitive. When I fully step into this energy, people have power over me. She won't achieve anything. She just wants to sit around and paint all day, for example. What are your stories? Because whatever those stories are, they are impacting how open you feel to her energy and how safe you'll feel stepping into her. So if you do have some negative stories coming up, you might want to ask yourself, okay, how do I need to change how I think about this energy in order to fully open up to her, in order to be willing to embrace her? And any of you who know my story, I think the only thing that got me to be willing to embrace her was that I couldn't get into a relationship. Because for a long time, I was pretty happy being in my masculine. I was like, oh yeah, this feminine stuff, whatever. It's not really that important. I just saw it as kind of a bit of self-care. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll do some nice self-care so I don't feel as tired. But you know, this manifests in all different places for us, but I personally just could not get a relationship to work for like 6 years. So I was forced to really look at what was out of balance in these energies. And so for me, as much as I might have had judgment around these parts of myself, I remember deciding that I wanted to do this work because I was like, I want to call in a really masculine, beautiful man, and I can only call in a really masculine man when I'm really in my feminine. Because I wanted that polarity. I didn't want a guy that was really similar, like energetically to me. I wanted that polarity. Polarity is like where you're deeply feminine and he's deeply masculine and you feel the difference between your energies. And that's when you get that beautiful chemistry and attraction, and it's delicious. So let's just go into a few things that you can start to practice and work with to help you embrace and embody and live more from your feminine. And then I'll open up for some reflections again on this feminine component. It is looking like today, because we spent a little bit of time chatting at the start, I am probably going to run over an hour today. Maybe we'll go closer to an hour and a half. If any of you can't stay for that full time, totally fine. We'll be getting the replay up later today. So totally understand if at any stage you need to be jumping off. You can just let me know in the comments if you need to go. Okay. So a few beginning points to becoming deep into our feminine. So the first thing, and we talked about this a little bit in the workbook, I think in the pre-program workbook, well, it's in this workbook too, is we need to open up the communication with our feminine. So the feminine doesn't respond well to just like a cut copy kind of approach to, okay, here's what you need to do to be feminine, or go do your self-care, or, oh, Connie said do this, so off you go, go do it. She wants to be listened to. She wants to be honored. She wants to be heard. She wants to be celebrated. And we can do that within ourselves with her. So even notice, and this used to be my tendency, when my feminine would speak, I'd be like, oh, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time to take a break. And she'd be like, I'm craving connection. And I'd be like, we don't have time to go hang out with friends. We've got things to do. And she'd be like, I'm craving a massage. I don't have time to go get a massage. I've got things to do. So she was often speaking to me and I was ignoring her. And we abandon our own feminine. If any of you have abandonment wounds, I absolutely do. I have abandonment wounds around father figures being absent and leaving. We need to really look at where we abandon our feminine. That's a big thing to look at. But I want you to look at if there are these places you ignore her, you try to silence her, you tell her she's inconvenient, she's too much, I don't have time, all of that. And even if you can't act on what she's asking for in the moment, a beautiful starting point is just to open up communication with her and listen to her. And for me, this looks like you can do this in the morning, but for me, it's often in the morning, like, how am I feeling? So how you're feeling, your emotions will be a way that she communicates to you, and not having any judgment on those emotions. Whatever she's feeling is what she's feeling. And what do you need? How are you feeling? What do you need? So I might wake up and I'm like, I'm feeling, like yesterday I woke up with a lot of emotion. I have no idea why. And I said to myself, what are you needing? And I was like, I just need to cry. And I cried for like half an hour and I just needed that. And I talked out with myself. I just talked out loud what I was feeling. And that was what she needed. Now, that is such a beautiful, nurturing thing to do with your feminine. But then in the moment you ask her what she needs and then she tells you and then you show up for her. So beautiful. Because what she needs every single day and every single moment is going to be different. And so we listen and we respond. And even if you can't respond at the moment, even just listening and journaling, you might ask that question every day, you know, what is my feminine self craving? What is my feminine self asking for? Some days I wake up and I'm like, I just want to be touched. Like I'm a really touchy person. So I will get my like little jar of coconut oil and I'll sit down in front of the mirror and I'll just give myself a little body massage. And I'll just massage from my toes, up my legs, you know, my hips, belly, like all over me. And just give myself that touch feeling, that connection. So that is a really beautiful starting point to connect with your feminine, is to listen and to hear what she's asking for and to give that to her. Like even yesterday, when was it? Was it yesterday or the day before? I wanted a bath. I think it was the day before and it was like hot in Sydney. And my feminine self's like, I feel like a bath. And I'm like, really? It's kind of like hot outside. what she wanted. So I was like, okay. And then that part of you is going to feel really like, you know, seen and celebrated and honored. And understand, and I said this in my live, the way you treat her will be reflected in how others treat her. Beautiful. Charlotte's saying, need to go to a meeting, but this call's been amazing. Thank you. See you later, my love. We will chat soon. Where was I? Oh, I totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying? I'm saying bath.
You're talking. Oh yeah, I was just gonna say you're talking about the bath. That's the last thing I remember.
Okay, let's pick up there. Thank you. It's so interesting. I was on a train of something though. Okay, no, that's right. I was saying, what's that sound? Who's ringing? Can you guys hear that? Is that just me? What is ringing through my computer? What is that sound?
That sounds like the ring from Messenger on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You guys are awesome. That was my sister calling through Messenger. Let me just close my Facebook. Now we're good. Okay. So what I was saying is the way you relate to your own feminine is how other people will relate to your feminine. So if you're someone that tends to ignore your own needs or judge yourself as being too much, you'll find other people will treat you that way. So important to keep in mind. So just a couple more things here on integrating the feminine. What we need to remember as well is living in our feminine isn't always about what we're doing, and it isn't even about changing anything externally. It's all about the qualities you embody. So you can still be going about all your daily commitments, particularly if you have a job that you have to work in, and you have commitments, you have a family, whatever you have going on. Being in the feminine doesn't mean, oh, I'm just not going to do anything anymore and I'm going to sit around on the couch and eat chocolate. But feminine loves doing stuff like that. I'm going to have some wine and some chocolate and listen to some music, you know. What it might mean is that you're just working on bringing different qualities into those situations. So you might say, okay, one of the words I want to work with is open. Say open and receptive. I want to bring more of an open and receptive energy. So maybe typically I'm kind of closed and a bit shut down. I want to work on being more open and receptive. Now, nothing needs to change in my life. All that needs to change is I choose to bring a different energy, embody a different quality, and I bring that into these situations. Let me give you a little example. I was thinking about this before the call. Before I got into a relationship, I was very closed. And I remember I used to go to this coffee shop near my house and get coffee from the same barista kind of all the time. And I'd go in there, like head down on my phone, not really wanting to chat, get my coffee, go home. And all I'd be thinking about is what I need to do. And one day I'm in the coffee shop and I'm kind of on my phone and I see the barista out of the corner of my eye moving. He goes over to the biscotti jar and he pulls out a biscotti, like with the tongs, and he walks over to me to like place it in my hand and give it to me. So here's the masculine, and the masculine, you know, leads, initiates, approaches, right? That's masculine. So he approaches me. I think back on this and I'm like, oh, Connie. And what do? I look up and I see it and I go, oh, no, I don't eat gluten. Thanks. And I completely shut him down and just went back to being on my phone. And here is this beautiful masculine energy approaching me, wanting to connect, wanting to give me a gift, wanting to be generous and sweet. And I was so closed that I completely shut him down. And he just stood there like awkward and embarrassed and kind of put it back in the jar and went back behind the counter. Now, there was an opportunity for me there to be really open and really receptive and to connect, because the feminine wants connection. But I wasn't in my feminine. And I think about there's so many ways and times I've done stuff like that. Even like sometimes you walk down the street and men actually are very friendly. I've seen men make eye contact, say hi, want to start a little conversation. Majority of the time, I just shut that shit down. Like, I'm just like, sorry, I don't have time for you today. So if I wanted to work on open and receptive, I could bring that quality. I could bring that with when I walk down the street, make eye contact, receive people's energy, receive people wanting to start a conversation, receive something that someone's trying to give me. So, and you can just say, open, like you just put your shoulders back, your head up, and you're already more open. So I want you to think about, yeah, any quality, even like pleasure. Another example, I can either work in a very rigid, hard, dry kind of way, or I can bring a lot of pleasure to my work. And I usually do that by playing music, having some nice essential oils going, always having a nice drink on my desk, wearing clothes that I feel very nice in, working on things that I enjoy, because I try to not force myself to do stuff I don't want to do anymore. You know, even like I've got my slippers on today because they feel really nice on my feet wearing them. So you can integrate these qualities. I know I'm harping on about that, but I hope that makes sense, because that's a really simple way to be able to bring more feminine in without changing anything externally. And then the third thing I would recommend is practices that help activate those feelings even more. So there are a whole range of beautiful practices. We'll talk about this a lot more in next class. But anything, you know, that involves movement, getting into your body, things that feel good, self-care, self-love, those types of practices, being creative, you know, painting, making food, listening to music, dancing, body massage, a bath, stretching, like coming into your body intuitively, a nature walk, getting your feet on the grass, you know, eating a delicious meal and just like savoring it. Connection with someone that makes you, you know, laugh. There's a whole range of little things that we can actually just bring in more of these qualities and these experiences that activate our feminine even more. So they are sort of three areas I would start with, which is communicating with your feminine, talking with her, asking her what she wants, and listening. Looking at the qualities you want to embody and how you can bring these into everything that you're doing. And then the practices, maybe do some reflection on, I don't know if I ask you about it in the workbook. Maybe not, but we'll talk about it more in next class too, because we'll talk about like sensuality and all that stuff. The practices that really activate these feminine qualities for you. Even beauty is a big one for me. My feminine loves beauty. So even having like a workspace, everything's, you know, some flowers on the desk or a vision board, that activates my feminine. All right. So, does anyone have any thoughts, reflections on this kind of component of the feminine qualities, anything that came up on that list with all the different words I put down there, or anything you feel to share? Yeah, Brigida, how you treat your feminine energy is how others will treat her. Yeah, you remind me of where I was up to. Is anyone else doing anything?
I have a question, comment, and this is probably something that will carried through the course in general, but it's kind of on your comment about around being open and like making eye contact with people in the streets and just that general openness, which does feel so good when you are in that open energy. But I've also found that sometimes being in that open energy, then it brings unwanted attention or, you know, those situations that you feel are maybe crossing boundaries. Whether that's also just like with friends, or it doesn't, I don't even just mean in a sexual way, but just like then giving too much of yourself or things becoming, it's like just too open. So would love to hear thoughts, whether now or later, about having, being that open energy, but then not having the boundaries be crossed as well, which I've found kind of difficult.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I think it also depends what open means to you and how we define open. But what I'm sort of hearing with this at the moment is, on one level, there's a giving of your energy, so say over giving or people getting quite a lot of your energy, or it's the that it will bring in and attract an energy that's sort of unwanted or not what you're wanting to receive.
Yeah, I would say it's a fair assessment. I guess for me, openness does feel like giving my energy and then potentially, receiving in return, situations or experiences that may not be the best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so maybe one beginning point is to explore with your own feminine, actually asking her how she would like to practice this quality of openness in a way that would make her feel safe. So it may not be that the way she practices it is to be really open when she's walking down the street, like just allowing anyone's energy to come in. There might be a different way she wants to practice that quality. It might more be, say, in my really close friendships, I want to be more open with people about how I'm feeling or what's going on for me, say with someone you really trust. I think that's one element, is actually coming up with a definition of that quality or a way you want to work with that quality that feels safe to you. And I've totally had this come up too, and I think Sarah's saying it here, yes, unwanted attention, that came up for me too. I feel too rigid with my boundaries because they've been crossed before. And this is one of the hardest things for us being women. Men never have to experience this, the fear and the vulnerability of being a woman, of being open and being afraid of what might come if we are too open, and not knowing if we'll be safe, not knowing always how to implement a boundary or say no or speak up. But this is where, yeah, the boundary and the using our voice and the deep self-honoring has to go hand in hand. So if we are going to open up our energy or open up our heart, we also have to combine that with knowing, what are my boundaries? Do I feel and trust myself to be able to stand up, say no, like pull my energy back, close off if something doesn't feel safe to me? Because even sometimes we stop ourselves doing that because we're like, oh, I feel bad. Maybe I should just be nice, or, you know, oh, that person needs me, I'll just keep giving. We've got to make sure if we're going to open up, we are also equally bringing in something that's going to protect us and honor us in any situation when we don't feel it's okay. And part of that is noticing the giving aspect, because that is sort of within your control. If you notice someone starting to take, or you're starting to overgive, that's the point to stop and step back and go, hang on a second, something's out of balance here. Before I keep giving here, let me really just find what feels right for me. Is that making sense?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it's having like those, defining with those boundaries, and then kind of like you said, defining openness at the first to then be able to see what boundaries need to be put in place as you become more open to kind of pull it back if needed.
But it
is just interesting how kind of your comment about men, how for them it's not really something that they need to think about. And as an example, I have a very close guy friend who, you know, we're very close friends, but he's also in a relationship, and he would never do anything to cheat on his girlfriend or anything like that. But I feel I'm the one constantly having to put in boundaries that make it more friendship based than him. And, you know, I've even talked to him about that. Like, I don't think this is appropriate for us to be having this conversation or talking this often. And he's always like, but why? I'm like, because your girlfriend probably wouldn't like this. And I just think it's so interesting that I feel as a feminine, we're the ones that are more open, but it's always on our minds, these boundaries. Whereas for men, they don't need to worry about these boundaries. They can just be open with no worry.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. We're all still navigating this, right? And really into this sort of safe dynamic again between men and women, which we haven't had for centuries. So I do think, particularly if we're talking about intimate relationships or even something like this, before you open, I think it is our work as women to ensure that person is a trustworthy, safe person to open to. And let's say dating, romantic situations, like, I think as women, we should be testing men a lot, and we should be ensuring, okay, like, if I give you a little bit of this, how do you respond? Are you safe? Are you in integrity? Can you hold me in this? You know, I remember my guidance saying to me a little while ago, Connie, you've broken your own heart so many times by giving it to men before you determined whether or not they could hold it. And so sometimes as women, we're kind of, oh, here's my energy and here I am and I want to be generous and kind and loving. But we're missing that part where we're like, hang on a second, prove to me that you can hold my heart. Show me that you are genuine, that you're honest, that you're trustworthy. And maybe with what you're noticing with your friend is like, okay, you just need to be aware he's not very good in his boundaries in this space.
Yeah.
It's just something you're going to have to be aware of, that, okay, in this dynamic, his tendency is going to be to overstep a little, and maybe I'll need to distance myself sometimes. What do I need to do for me in this situation so that I feel safe and I feel in integrity?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Makes sense.
Thank you for bringing that up. I can see, like, I think a lot of people can resonate with this conversation. It's a big area of work for me on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone else feel to share anything on that? Yeah.
Hey, babe. I had a funny thing come up because I came to the realization, like you said, about feelings, like, oh, if I'm feeling something, it's not inappropriate and we're just going to feel it. That's kind of where I started with this after our call. And I had a funny thing the other day, like my husband, we were working out in the same room. I'm on my elliptical. He's doing Pilates and he's watching the show. And there's like a scene. It was a comedy scene, but it was still mildly offensive. And it was like a woman having an orgasm and it was funny, but I was still like irked. Like, men don't play that role. You know, it's just, it was dumb. It was, but I didn't say it was dumb. I said, okay, what's going on? And I got off the elliptical, went to the bathroom and I said, how do you feel? And I was like a little bit offended, not enough to say anything, but I just sort of sat with it and I was like, okay, that feels kind of shitty, but, and then I was fine. And then I went back to working out and everything was fine. But that's the sort of thing I would have just said, oh, don't be silly. This is Hollywood. It's a comedy, you know? And yet it was like, no, it kind of pissed me off a little. Not enough to say anything, not enough to say, turn it off, but enough for me just to own, hey, my feminine just heard that and she's kind of pissed by that.
Yes. That's the first step, is actually owning your feminine's feeling and not making it wrong.
Right. I was like, I don't have to disagree. I don't even really need to express this to anyone else. But just to work through it, and then it went away, and then I was fine.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. To the point, and to also what's been brought up before, is I actually think what we're coming into now is almost, as women, we do have a responsibility to teach men what's okay and what's not. Because we have spent a long time being like, oh, they're just being men, or that's just that, or whatever. And even in Stefania's situation, oh, well, you know, he's in a relationship, but he's just, you know, a friendly, charismatic guy. We actually have a responsibility as women, and maybe in her situation, to say, you know what, this makes me uncomfortable because
yeah,
in a relationship, I feel like you're
exactly
over the mark, and I need to let you know this is how it's making me feel.
Yeah, no, I've been, and I think I 100% agree with that. It really is up to us, and it's funny because I had a funny conversation with him last night where I'm just like, it's incredibly funny because I realize men just are not thinking this way because they haven't had to think because they didn't have there were no consequences for their behavior, whereas for us there was always consequences. If something went wrong, we were the ones that suffered it. And so throughout our friendship, I'm constantly being like, no, this we can't do, or this we can do. And if I didn't do any of this, he'd be totally fine to, you know, talk to me 24/7. It's like, no, like, you have a girlfriend you love, like, we need to focus on that. And, you know, this conversation can get more complicated, but 100% agree where it's up to us to create those boundaries and force them to have those conversations.
Yes, and let them know what's okay and what's not, because you're right, no one's been saying this to them. And we've been the one that's been made to be wrong. And, you know, just a couple of little examples on this. I was watching Married at First Sight, and there's this girl on there, her name's actually Connie, and she's very emotional. And my boyfriend said, oh my God, she's crazy off the planet. And I was like, even that, I was like, no, we don't speak about women like that. And he was joking, and he thought, you know, and what's funny is he's amazing about my feminine emotions. He's really supportive, but he went into that stupid male mind of seeing a woman being emotional. She's crazy. He's like, oh, look at the guy. The guy's so calm and together. She's off the planet. And I was like, no. And I actually spoke to him in that moment. I'm like, no, you don't speak about women like that. It's not okay. I said, what, this woman's just having emotions? I said, you need to just let her have her emotions. It doesn't mean anything. And I pulled him up on it because I'm like, if I don't pull him up on it in this moment, he's going to think it's okay. Similar with my boyfriend is often out in the nightlife. He DJs sometimes and he talks with women. He adds these women on Instagram, and in his mind, it's very harmless. And I said to him, it's not okay for me. I want you to be devoted to me. That's what I expect. I'm devoted to you. You be devoted to me. If you're going to go work, why do you need to be connecting with these women? We've talked about it, and he's reined that in. Now, if you're with a man that when you speak your truth, they go, oh, you're overreacting, you're being stupid. Well, there's the door. Goodbye. But if you want to be with me, here's how I want to be treated. Here's the standard. And you either step up into that or don't be here. And I think that's where we come into our power as women. We're not bitches. We're not ball breakers. But we pull, they're so unconscious. We pull them up when they are unconsciously acting in that old masculine. Make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Any more pieces on that? Ooh, we could get fired up on this for a while, couldn't we? But we will talk more about this too later around self-trust, because we have to trust what we're feeling and not make ourselves wrong.
Think one more interesting piece that we don't need to discuss now that I'd be interested to hearing about more later is on that topic of having to train men in this way. And I don't even like to use that word because it makes it sound so derogative, but it's true. Like, I think a lot of guys, and my friend included, who is very willing to take my feedback and apply it. I know he really wants to learn, but it is a lot of work that I have to do in explaining these things to him. And at which point is it worth it and not, is it not worth it? I think for me with this friendship, it's worth it for me, but just thinking more generally with more intimate relationships and things like this, at what point is it just kind of thinking, and with boundaries and things, like, how much of it is our work to teach, and how much of it is their work to learn on their own as well?
Well, we want it to be, it should be their work to learn on their own. But unfortunately, I mean, who's teaching them? We're getting some new, beautiful, conscious, masculine leaders coming through who are teaching beautiful men's work, but not all men are open to that. And the thing that I have found in my particular relationship, and I work on this really hard with him, is because I value the relationship. Majority of the time, he's incredibly loving and supportive, but he just has that unconscious societal dickhead masculine shit going on sometimes that I'm really wanting to set a foundation in our relationship of like a lot of respect and deep honoring of the feminine. I want to teach him that he needs to deeply honor women. So I guess I'm happy to do that work with him, because it's actually, it brings us closer together when we do it. But yeah, you have to pick your battles, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Okay. Let's get into, put me back on speaker view. Sorry, guys, this class is running longer than I expected, but I'm just on a roll, so I'm going to keep going. And if at any point, you need to come back and revisit the replay, you can do that. So let's look a little at our inner masculine energies and understand as well, like, if we might even have a funny relationship with our inner masculine too, which might be reflected in the masculine in our lives. Now, it's totally okay to, at numerous times throughout our life, have drawn on this masculine energy within us. And when I talk about, when I talk about the masculine within us, I'm not sort of talking about like being a man or I don't know, anything else that's maybe coming to mind. It's when we draw on the more logical, rational, action-focused, linear, outcome-driven, structured kind of part of ourselves, the part of ourselves that has plans and goals and quite in our head and very focused, like, here's my outcome and here's what I'm striving for, and get my validation through what I achieve and what I do, and gets a lot of self-worth and confidence through what we achieve and what we do. And at times can be very rigid. It's the part of ourselves that is the structure. So I saw a beautiful thing where it was explained that the masculine is like the riverbed. So it is the riverbed that holds the river in place and gives it shape and gives it direction. But the feminine is the river. She is the movement. She is the flow. She is the energy that flows through that structure. So our inner masculine and feminine energies can work really well together. And I want to talk about harmonizing them, because they're both valuable. One is not better than the other. We definitely, as a woman, will feel better when we're primarily in our feminine, but it doesn't mean we want to reject or judge or push away the aspect of our masculine. But an example is, like I talked about this with some of you on our discovery calls, a good example of this is, say, like a morning routine. If we want to create this beautiful morning practice, but we're too in our masculine, we'll be very much like, okay, I get up at 6 a.m. and then at 6:05 I do this, and then I go off and do this, and then I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I'm going to do my journaling so I can get clarity, and then I'm going to have my green smoothie because that's good for me, and then okay, now it's 7 o'clock, now I'm going to have a shower, and it's just very, very structured and rigid, right? And when we combine masculine and feminine, the masculine is like the commitment and the structure. So we say, okay, at 6 a.m., my morning routine is going to start, and I'm going to do that for an hour. I'm just making this up. This is not an expectation. And so the masculine is kind of the time and space. He says, okay, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., morning time. But whatever happens in that morning time is completely guided by the feminine. So here's the riverbed, and then she's the river. And that means you might wake up and be like, okay, today I'm going to need just to do some dancing. Or today I can feel like I'm getting some intuitive downloads. I want to go write them down. Today, oh, I feel tender. I've got emotion. I just want to like be with my feelings and kind of cry for a bit. Or today I'm feeling a little bit flat and I kind of want to uplift myself. Maybe I'll listen to like a podcast or read a book or vision, you know, something I want to create in my life. So we let whatever we're feeling in the moment guide the energy of what happens in that time. And so for being someone who works for myself, and I know you all have different circumstances, this works well for me when I have the masculine kind of structure of like, okay, I work Monday to Friday. I work during these times. The key things I want to achieve this week are maybe a podcast episode, run this class, get our Facebook group all organized, do this. But then how that all unfolds is kind of guided by my feminine. And I like to give myself a lot of like freedom to be like, okay, here's all your list of things to do. Wake up today. Which one am I feeling inspired to do today? Now, if you can't do that with your work, you might run your weekend like that. You might be like, okay, I'm going to give Saturday to be my day of like doing, of running my day like this. So rather than having like my full weekend scheduled, I might say, okay, here's some things that are important. I'd like to go to that yoga class. I'd like to catch up on that series on Netflix. I'd like to catch up with that friend, whatever it is. But I'm also going to let like the day flow. Or you might say, I'm going to give myself one day on the weekend to just do whatever I feel. So I'm going to like, what do I feel? Oh, I feel like going for a walk. Okay, let's do that. Get home. Okay, I feel like cooking up like a delicious meal. Okay, let's do that. And you let yourself just be guided by the feeling in the moment. But you know, the masculine aspects of you, even if they've been, say, dominant, we always want to appreciate that energy because that has brought you to where you are now. It has helped you achieve. It has helped you succeed. I would not have been able to set up my business without really being in my masculine a lot of the time. It really helped me. It's a very productive, powerful energy. And look, sometimes in my work, I go more into my masculine than my feminine. And I don't want any of us to make ourselves wrong if we ever do that. Sometimes if I'm coming up to a launch or something, I'm like, sorry, sweetheart, like we're just going to have to be at the computer all day today. I might check in with my feminine in the morning and be like, how are you feeling? And she might be like, I just need like an hour of like just me, and then I'm going to be good just to go like just get through everything today. So as long as, you know, even if you need to be in your masculine, as long as you're still communicating with your feminine, like she's still there and involved and you're not just ignoring her to bulldoze ahead with your plans, you know, that's how we can kind of get them working together. And I often feel like I like to let the feminine be the lead and the masculine be the servant. So often we think about it in the other way. And sort of sometimes in dynamics, we do actually find masculine is the leader and the feminine flows with. But I like to work with letting the feminine be the lead and the masculine be the support. So the way I do that is, say if I have a desire, and that desire might be, oh, I'm feeling like to create a new program. or I'm feeling to focus on like my exercise and get back into like moving my body more, or whatever her desire is, the feminine desire. And I would feel that desire, and then I would say, okay, how can I draw on my masculine and get him to support her so she can have what she wants? And I might say, okay, well, what would that mean then? So we'd need to make some plans and lock in some things and take some steps and set up some goals. So I'm bringing in his energy to help her have what she wants. It's a really nice way to get them working together. And I just imagine them as two energies that I work with, like feminine desire, what she wants. She wants us to feel good. She wants to enjoy the process. She wants to create. She wants to birth. She wants to like make something pretty, make something beautiful in the world. And then I bring him in and I bring in his energy and we go, okay, cool. All right, sweetheart, how can we help you have what you want? How can we create a plan, an action plan, take some steps and support her? So that's a really beautiful way I like to get them working together. Oh, I can see my, hang on, let me just get my lighting back in. Looks a little bit better there. So it's as well like, oh, we will talk about trust. I think that's going to come up a lot through this program, but trusting our inner masculine, because maybe as well, like my tendency is my masculine just comes in and like walks all over my feminine. If he's got things he wants to achieve, he's like, I want this outcome and I want to make this money and I'm going to go for it. So stuff you. And, you know, the feminine can't surrender to the masculine unless she really trusts him. So I think, you know, it might be some work, but beginning to work on trusting your inner masculine and trusting your inner feminine. Let's get into that bit, actually, because I'm just mindful of time and I want to get into that a little bit. So I think trusting the masculine is about creating, say within ourselves, not just the external masculine at the moment, is about creating whether it's goals or systems or structures or plans that feel supportive, not suppressive or suffocating or dominating, that actually support her. So, and that's, you know, what I'm talking about in my relationship, what I'm wanting to create. I want to create a dynamic where my man supports me, where his commitment to me makes me feel more free, where his devotion to me makes me feel more safe, where his, you know, his clarity, his like, I'm going to be there at 7 o'clock tonight and we're going to have this for dinner. That puts me at ease, rather than what most of us have experienced is masculine energy feeling like it completely suppresses and dominates and overcomes the feminine. So we can start this with ourselves. Look at any place where we feel like our feminine is not being honored by our masculine, you know, where we're just like forging ahead and ignoring her. And using his energy to support her rather than suppress her. Yeah, I've said that a few times. Another way we trust the masculine is like through integrity. So if we make a commitment, we honor that. The masculine is the commitments. So if we say to ourselves, tomorrow I'm starting this new healthy eating plan. And tomorrow we're going to get up and we're going to have this for breakfast as part of this plan. But if we get up tomorrow and we break that agreement to ourselves, we go, nah, I don't feel like it. Or if we say, tomorrow I'm starting my 30 days of yoga. And we get up tomorrow and we go, nah, I'm not going to do it. Nah. We are actually breaking trust in our own inner masculine there. We're breaking integrity with ourselves. We're breaking our own commitments. And from that place, and this was very much me, you will tend to manifest a masculine that will do that to you as well. The more in integrity you are, when you make a commitment, you show up and you honor that, the more you will attract a masculine that does that. When he says he's going to be there, he's there. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. So that's important to look at with your own inner masculine, what you're like with your commitments, your decisions, your plans, and whether you trust yourself in that, whether you feel safe in that, and whether you trust yourself to follow through. And trusting our feminine means we let her get, like we put her in charge. She comes into the leadership role in our lives. Now, like I said, this is different when you come into a relationship with a masculine, because I would say in my relationship, my partner is the leader and I let him be the leader and I flow with him. But in me and myself, my sovereignty, my energy, my life, my feminine is in charge. And I let her lead in how I relate to him. So like I've been saying the whole time, this means not ignoring her, not disregarding her cries for self-care and nurturing and a break or rest or pleasure, not ever discounting her emotions, not ever telling her she's too much, bringing in practices that help her awaken more and come alive and be expressed. Trusting, like the beautiful examples that both of you, the women gave before, is when something comes up in your body, you don't ignore it. When something comes up and says, oh, that didn't quite sit right with me. Oh, I feel like he's overstepping a boundary here. Oh, he made that comment and my body just shut down. We don't ignore that. We don't ignore that. And we either just honor it in ourselves and we go, okay, I'm going to listen to that because this is my body telling me something. Or we have the courage and we speak up and we say, hey, I just need to let you know that made me really uncomfortable. It made me really uncomfortable and I'd appreciate it if you didn't say that again. We speak up for ourselves. So that's important. And I'm just getting through my notes to make sure I can cover these final little important bits for you. And trusting her even when it doesn't make sense, even when we're afraid, even when we can't see where she's leading us. There are a lot of times for me, like say I'm in a launch and I'm trying to promote a program. Like in fact, for the filling of this whole program, I've had to really trust the whole process here because there's been times my head's been like, Connie, you should really get out there and promote this program and talk about it. And I've asked my feminine and she said no. She said, honey, just be in your pleasure and just wait and receive. The right people will come and they'll find you in the right time. And so I listened to her and I was like, okay, we're just going to focus on writing up the course content and enjoying that. And she, you know, I might wake up one day and have all these commitments and she might be like, honey, today I need rest. I need you just to like do nothing today. My head might be like, oh no, but I've got so much to do. But my work is to fully honor her and trust her. And I find when I do that, if I give her what she needs, I wake up the next day and I'm on fire and I'm ready to go because I fully honored her in what she needed. Whew, that's a lot of content. Let's see, everyone, if let me just get my light popping back in a bit. Has anyone had anything come up through that component? Any more questions? Or as we're kind of coming towards the end of all the content for today, got anything you want to share? I'm also just checking my workbook to see if there's anything else I want to cover. Anything you want to share? Anything you want to ask? Oh, Sarah, what are some baby steps you can take to trust your feminine? I would say trusting how you feel would be a starting point. So becoming more in tune with how you feel about everything. And trusting might initially look like, I mean, trusting can be two things. One, it can just be honoring it and being like, okay, I feel you. My body's saying this doesn't feel good. My body's saying this has crossed a line. My body's saying I don't want to do this. My body's saying I need to rest. My body's saying, like it's even interesting. I'm in this apartment at the moment. My feminine's like, I want a different space. I want somewhere bigger. I want something. Like she's keeps asking for it. And I'm kind of like, that's going to be inconvenient and annoying, but I honor you. Okay. I hear you. I think listening to your feelings and then trusting is also about then acting on it. So any little place where you can act on what she's sharing with you. And the way you build trust is sort of almost through getting feedback. So I trust my feminine now because say in the past when she would say, take a day off work and just have a bath and sit on the couch today, I didn't have any proof previously that that was a good or right thing to do. I was kind of like, well, that just sounds crazy. But through practicing it enough and honoring it, I've now come to see, when she tells me just to rest, I realize that It's because it's what I'm needing. And then when I do go to shop to take action later, I'm so much more productive and energized because I'm working with my body's rhythms. So that's helped me build trust in her because I've honored it. And then I've looked back and I'm like, oh, she was right. Or like, you know, when you have like an instinct about a guy, maybe you ignore it, but maybe you start acting on it. And maybe you show up and say something and then you can look back and be like, oh, she was right about him. Like she was right about what she said to me. So actually we build the trust when we act on what she's saying and then we look back and we go, she was right. And that helps us feel more confident trusting her moving forward. Does that make sense? I hope that helps. Any more shares, loves? Questions, reflections, even if you just want to let me know how you're feeling as we're wrapping up the class.
Hi, Connie. I do want to share something about open and emotional. Because I know that I realize that people around me kind of don't quite like the negative feelings. But I remember last week, I just literally told my colleagues and say that I was a bit upset about the work I'm currently doing. And then I just want to let him know, just simply because let him know how I feel, because I don't want to have any miscommunication among us. But then later I realized my trust actually make my colleagues be a bit stressed because he seems that he feel a bit pressure when I told him I'm kind of stressed about the work. So I'm currently a bit confused about how open and how emotional should I present myself.
Oh, this is an interesting one. There's a couple of aspects to it. One is, I guess not every, we need to, I guess, see that and understand not everyone is going to be the not everyone's going to respond or receive our feminine in the way that we want. It's I guess it's not guaranteed that everyone is going to understand and everyone is going to completely get it. So that's sort of part of the risk, I think, of being open and being vulnerable is you never know how it's going to be received or perceived. So I think, yeah, I always in intimate relationships want to just sort of feel out first to make sure that person can hold my emotions before I share it. But in a work situation, I guess we look at, well, what are the two options? Option one is I know what I'm feeling, but I don't speak up. I keep it to myself. I sit here feeling all this pressure and upset. No one knows. No one can help me. And I'm probably going to isolate myself more. Option two is I speak how I'm feeling, and you so beautifully did it because this is the part of the communicating in the feminine. It's never like blaming or telling someone you're not supporting me or you're putting too much on my plate. It's just, this is how I'm feeling. It's such a beautiful way to express the feminine. I just want you to know how I'm feeling. Now, there's always a risk because we don't know how someone's going to respond to how we're feeling. But would you agree, I'm just wondering, in yourself, do you feel better that you were able to express that? Do you feel wider or?
I feel like probably because I'm not good at explaining self that much, because initially my intention is just to let my colleagues know that I look a bit upset, not just because I hate the people around me, just because I'm still at the learning process and feel a bit of stressed. Yeah, I just don't want to have that misunderstanding from my colleagues. But then in the end, I feel like my colleagues may feel like, oh, he doesn't give me enough support. And I don't want my colleagues to feel bad. But then in the end, I feel like my colleagues actually do feel bad.
But the problem, so many of us don't express ourselves because we don't want to make other people feel bad.
Yeah.
Right? And then we end up having to hold everything in. So I guess it's about like, I mean, the full freedom of being a woman is like, well, here's me. If that makes you feel bad, then too bad. That's yeah. Kind of how I would see it. Now, I understand you're in a work situation, so there's a few things to keep in mind. But maybe it's about having more conversations around this and expressing it from the place of, look, I just simply wanted to let you know how I was feeling. You said it so beautifully here. I'm not in any way saying that, you know, you're not supporting me enough or even just saying to him, here's one way that would be really helpful if you could support me a little bit more here. That would be really good. But I just want you to know, you know, I'm adjusting and I'm just feeling a little bit overwhelmed at the moment. And I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah.
Now, maybe he's not used to women sharing.
I feel like the result of me saying that, so everyone in my team feel like I need sort of help because I'm getting a bit stressed and upset. And this makes me feel more scared. It just makes me feel like, oh, I'm kind of a person who is weak and need a lot of help from my teammates. So it's now getting, I feel like I'm a bit of awkward and then not natural when everyone comes to talk to me.
Well, what if you were to just to receive that? What if you were to open up and receive that support? And receive those people coming to help you.
Yeah, probably still connects back to the masculine side. So I just want to do everything on my own and I'm paid receiving support. I feel like I'm weak if I receive support.
You're articulating this so beautifully because, you know, I watched your video where you talked about all of this. And so what feels most comfortable to you is to pretend that, you know, you're fine, you don't need any help, you're not, there's no weakness, I'm good, you know. But you actually were very brave. You listened to your feminine, you expressed how you were feeling. You've said coming into this course, I want to work on, you know, receiving and letting people in and my relationships and letting people help me. And that's what you've created. Now, it's going to feel uncomfortable because it's a bit foreign. And you're going to be like, oh, I feel weak and I feel like I haven't got it all together. I'm not independent. But I would encourage you, open up and receive. Let those people in. Let them come and talk with you. Let them come and help you. Let them know, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm really good at what I do, but I'm just finding this hard at the moment. That's, you know, I said this in the group, we can't have connection without vulnerability. And you're actually letting yourself be a little bit vulnerable, and that is so beautiful. And you're letting them in to come and connect with you and help you. And every part of you might be like, oh, but I feel weak and it's not, it doesn't feel good. But this is exactly why you're here, to work on this. And you've created the perfect situation to work on it now.
I'd love to share something similar, and Kathy, maybe this will help you, but I bet actually some of those colleagues loved that you shared that because they're probably feeling the same thing. And I had a very similar situation last week. My colleague who I work with directly, he's actually an ex-Marine. And so he's a very masculine guy, does not express any emotions. And something happened last week in the workplace that just like really pissed me off. And I just had a bit of a, I just had to like share my honest opinions. And I was like, this is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I didn't explode, but I was extremely honest with how I felt. And it's funny because the moment I was open, he felt a little bit to be open. And the next day we were talking about it and I made a comment to him being like, yeah, you know, you're just much more controlled with your emotions. And he said, he was like, no, you know, I went home to my wife last night. I was complaining a lot to her. I just didn't want to express too much at work. So I bet a lot of your colleagues who, when you admitted to them that you were feeling stressed, I'm sure they're feeling the same thing too. There's no way that you're the only person feeling stressed. So they're probably actually feeling really, you know, it's nice for them to feel that you express that as well. And maybe they're not going to show it right away, but maybe in a few weeks, someone's going to come to you and say, hey, I felt that too a few weeks ago.
I agree with that too. I was just talking to a client this morning about the same thing. She had like a panic attack at work. And I was like, you know, the beautiful thing about that was, and the way it was handled was perfect. It was with women. It was beautiful. She was supported. But again, she's a person. We've all experienced things. And I said, I think if anything, you're going to seal the deal even more because you showed your humanity. And same thing with this for you, Kathy. I think it's like people are just going to be like, she's a human being. Wow. And probably they're feeling, just like you said, they're feeling the same thing. So I just want to say, I think you're really on track, actually.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. And inspiring for other people.
And helping to create the culture of that workplace. So rather than having a workplace where everyone has to hold in what they're feeling and can't be honest, you've already started, probably without realizing, to create a little change. But maybe other people will speak up when they feel a bit overwhelmed or they'll ask for help. Whereas until someone does that, everyone thinks, oh no, none of us can admit that we're, you know, not coping. We've all got to pretend we're fine. It only takes one person. I actually really see you as a leader then. You're leading a bit of a change here in the culture, and that's beautiful. Maybe it's going to take time for people to kind of fully open up and feel safe to be like that with you too. But I would say keep going. and let these people in. And they might confide in you, like these women are saying. They might come to you one day in the kitchen and be like, thank you so much, because I've been feeling that. And, you know, I was finally able to speak up too because you did. You started it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Oh, you women are amazing. My light's gone mute. Any final thoughts before we wrap up? You guys have been here for a while with me. Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for, holding space and listening. And I hope you found today's class valuable. Let me just get my light popping back in. It's so weird. It just goes because the light is behind me. So the workbook is up on the members site. I will get this recording uploaded for you within the next hour or so. I'll post the replay. It will be on the members site. And we'll also put a copy in the Facebook group. And I want you to be focusing over the next couple of weeks on these principles that you want to practically apply. Like Kathy's example is beautiful. That is real application of this work. So look for those places where you can be really integrating this into your days and your weeks. Sorry, light's gone. Food again. I think that's all for today. If you want to give me, if we want to go around and maybe just think about what is a word to describe how you're feeling as we wrap up today. Give me a word. Let's start. Who would like to go first?
I feel a bit more released.
Beautiful. Release.
Yeah, release.
Yeah.
Usually I have a lot of concern about myself. I just feel like, sometimes I just feel like, should I express that emotion even if sometimes it's a bit negative? But now I realize that I should be more brave to make that change and see what will happen.
Yep. And you feel the release and the relief and the lightness of that, don't you?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Sarah said here, hopeful. Brigitte said inspired. Stefania, how are you feeling?
No words are coming to mind, but I think inspired, definitely. I'm feeling inspired and just so excited to be able to be the next 3 months having these conversations and doing the work and really excited to have started everything.
Thank you, beautiful women, for all of your shares. You guys have been amazing today. Let's continue it in our group. Let's continue the conversation over there, and I will see you in our next class. Yeah, Sarah said here, I love these conversations. They're so important. They absolutely are. Yeah, thank you. Lots of love to you all.
Bye, everyone.
We'll talk again soon. Bye, everyone. Bye.